Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 193 and counting. But we're going to have another great show tonight, and I want to welcome all you new listeners aboard. Hope you enjoy the show and you keep coming back and spreading the word to your neighbors and coworkers and the family and friends. You know, your daughter, son. We invite all ages here, so even tell your parents, because these animals need our voices each and every day. I mean, there's so many issues out there that they need from, you know, each day that there's animals out there that's getting tortured and bullied, you know, neglected, abused. I mean, you name it, it is happening. That's why I do these shows, because I know that, you know, I know I can't make any changes, but thousands of like we can. So when we take that action and we and get with our legislators and try to be professional and polite, we can get changes made. Teamwork is so very important when it comes to changes getting made. You know, I always say one person can change a life and help, you know, the life for a better future. But thousands of us that come together and make some meaningful changes. And you know, the list goes on. So please, everybody, do your part. You know, here's a phone number that you could call 24/7 after hours and weekends. Just leave a voicemail. And that area code is 202-224-3121. And if you go out, you can put your zip code in, press 1 for your senator, 2 for your state representatives. We're having another voting going on, so please get out there and vote, everyone. This is so important. I hear people say, oh, it doesn't, my vote doesn't count. Yes, it does, and especially when changes get made. So please get out there and vote and do your thing. My name is Debbie Dahmer. I am the producer and host for Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, on Blog Talk Radio, and all these shows are archived. So recorded live every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listening worldwide, unlimited listeners. And if you, this show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette online, Marty Oakley's newspaper online. And if you press follow on the right-hand column under blog stats, every time there's a new podcast coming up or a news article, it will be delivered right to your primary email. Also on Blog Talk Radio, you want to reach the main website to help promote these shows because they're all archived. Listen and share 24/7, 365 days a year. And that's www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescarryforanimals. And you'll notice all the archive shows. Just press what link you want to hear. And on the left side of the screen, you could social media icons, Facebook, Twitter. You can email the show. You can copy it. The cross is all of them. Just click and share, and you know, please help to get to work, because the bigger this audience is, the better for the animals, because they so well deserve. The humans and the animals are all on this earth temporarily, and we got to make the best of it for them. I just want to go through and do a couple shout-outs for helping share this show every Thursday. Take Action, Help Ban Animal Gas Chambers. And that's Holly Smith and Megan Mason. They're on Facebook. Voices Care for Animals Support Group. I'm one of the admins and can't thank all my helpers. You know, the support that they give. And you know, so ask to join and go in there and see how you can help out. The Paul's Call Show on Facebook. Thank you so much, Leah M. Webster. Fans of Animal Rights, Arlene, they got a great page going there. If you go around on their page and press like and share, help fight the war against all animal cruelty today. Debbie Eisman and also Evelyn Pendle. Voices for Animals on Facebook, Voice for Animals on Twitter, Sean Waters. Thank you so much. The Miami Coalition Against Breed-Specific Legislation has got it on their page right now. This all takes teamwork, everybody, and teamwork rocks and teamwork wins. So thank you all. And Deb Pod Ivano out there, Animal Warrior Sister, and all the friends and families that are sharing the show every Thursday. It's so meaningful, and keep it up. Never give up hope. You hear some of them all burn out and I need a break. Well, take that break, because it doesn't happen overnight with all of us. So please, everyone, do your part. Put a little love in your heart and do your part. With the Hurricane Michael in Florida that's cruising up the coast, it is devastating. All our thoughts and prayers are going out for all the victims out there and the animals. You know, give them hope to carry on. Give them some, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. Try to help out in each way you can. A big thank you, huge shout out to all the National Guard, the first responders, the police, the medical, you know, all the helicopters going in. I mean, it's amazing how teamwork comes together and people come out of woodwork, and neighbors helping neighbors and friends helping friends, strangers helping strangers. These hurricanes are no joke. So please, everyone, don't stop here. I just Mexico City, Florida, it is terrible. So please, everybody, do your part. Think about these people. Send their prayers, because it is devastating. But I'm going to go on with this show. The chat room is open. If you'd like to join in, go to Blog Talk Radio or the promo and sign in for Blog Talk. From Facebook or Twitter, go past the comments and the chat room will appear. You're more than welcome to come in. I want to go ahead and introduce my great guest tonight again, Megan Caputo, an animal rights attorney and general counsel for the Miami Coalition Against Breed-Specific Legislation. How are you doing, Megan?
Well, hello there. I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Hey, so far so good. I got a little cough.
All we can ask for.
Yeah. But go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started.
Well, it's kind of an interesting, I guess, story. I did not get started in the law. Yes, now I am an animal rights attorney. That's the primary part of my practice. I own my own firm down in Miami, Florida. As most of you know, that's probably one of the worst places you can be if you own a dog, period, let alone a pit bull. And I got my start actually as a groomer, believe it or not. I am a certified groomer, have been for a very, very long time. I got in the animal world in that way and then ended up being what is referred to as a breeder counselor, screening out bad breeders around the country, making sure that they weren't able to sell their dogs. And then I just kind of went into the law, and my passion for animals just kept going and going. I was known as a dog girl in law school, and from then on, now I just protect animals and their owners every way I can.
That is great. And thanks for all you do. I mean, it's, you know, inspiring work that you do for all of them. And these pit bulls and stuff, they get the bad rap. I mean, it's so sad, you know, when one bites, and we don't like to hear that, but, you know, you can't charge all of them with that, you know, biting and saying they're bad dogs. It's not right, because all the, you know, dogs I've known, pit bulls, through my whole life, you know, through for the neighborhoods and friends and family, they were all so, I call them gentle giants, you know, you just want to go up there and just hug their face, and they deserve a chance. I mean, this is discrimination, it's prejudice, it's unfair, injustice, you know, and these pit bulls deserve a chance. You know, they get the, it's not right what's happening down in there in Miami, you know, since what it was, 1984 or 89 has been banned?
89. Yeah, 1989 they put the ban in. And then in, I believe it was 1990, Broward County, the county directly north of ours, ours is Miami-Dade County, it encompasses it is the biggest county in all of Florida. Let's just put it that way. It has more people than any other county in all of Florida, probably a few of them combined. And the county right above us, Broward County, in 1990, tried to do the same thing. They tried to ban pit bulls as well. And the state of Florida stepped in, and the state legislature decided that they were going to pass a law that stated that you could not do that anymore, that breed-specific legislation was unconstitutional, and no other county, city, ordinance, municipality, didn't matter, could do it in all of Florida. Unfortunately, because Miami-Dade's ban was already in place, the legislature chose not to remove the ban and chose to grandfather it in and allow it to stay in place, which is why we still have it today. And we've been fighting it tooth and nail ever since. Unfortunately, it still exists. So if you have a dog in Miami-Dade County that, quote unquote, is a pit bull, which what I mean by that is there is actually no such thing as a pit bull. That's a little-known fact that most people don't know. They just assume any dog that looks a certain way with the big old blockhead and the big muscular body is a pit bull. That is not true. The pit bull is just a terminology. It encompasses a whole lot of different breeds. But if your dog looks like that in Miami-Dade County, they have the right to come, seize your dog, and euthanize them, which is what we've been fighting for forever. And we've got a pretty big fight coming ahead of us. Like you said before, I am the general counsel for the Miami Coalition Against Breed-Specific Legislation. Dahlia Kanes, the director and founder, started that probably about 20 years ago now. And they've been fighting this ban ever since she started the organization. I came on board a few years ago as their general counsel. And this year, I can't divulge all the way, but coming up in the next month, you guys are going to see some big, big things coming from the coalition.
Good.
We have a big fight on our hands. We're taking on the county, and we are going to do our best to remove this pit bull ban.
Good. I mean, it's long overdue. I mean, it's so sad to hear about it, you know, and wishing you the best of the best. I tried to get hold of Dyla, but she's going to a board meeting tonight. I was going to ask her to call in. And
I spoke to her a couple of hours ago. She's going to do her best to try and call in if she can. But, yeah, they have monthly board meetings, so all of them are getting together. They're going to be discussing what we're about to do, and they're also discussing what you were just talking about, which is the hurricane, because another big thing that they do in our organization is they like to help. So they're going to be – some of the members are going to be going up north with supplies over the next week to try and help out all the animals and the people that live up there as well. So it's kind of a big board meeting, but she said she'll give it a shot and see if she can call in.
Okay, great. Yeah, because it's devastating. I don't know if you've seen the photos on the news, but it is something else. I mean, it just – they're no joke, you know. It just – the hurricanes don't stop. And what gets me is, you know, so many people out there that leave their dogs, and you know, behind – out on chains in the hurricanes, you know, and that's not right. Or in cages out there.
Yeah.
And they need to strengthen the laws on that, because that all is preventable. You know, it's hurricanes keep happening, and some of these people leave their pets behind on chains tied up to trees. It is disgusting. Okay. And
you know what? You're absolutely right. And good news is, I will tell you on that, at least down here, as you know, South Florida gets hit by hurricanes almost every other year, it feels like. And mm-hmm. we have a huge, huge problem, especially where my firm is located down in the Homestead area. We are known as the area where everybody dumps their quote-unquote unwanted dogs. So we have huge populations of stray dogs down here that are dumped on an hourly basis. And unfortunately, the population down here is not as well educated when it comes to how to properly care for your animals, because there's just not a lot of resources down here to help them except for the Animal Services Department, who is completely overwhelmed. So we have a huge problem with people tying up their animals, leaving them in their yards, taking off whenever they have an evacuation. And there's not always a lot of shelters that'll take pets. So a lot of them don't know what they're supposed to do, but they're being forced to evacuate. So the one good thing that a lot of the cities down here have done is they are working on laws, and they have in the last couple of years been a lot stricter on owners that have done that. So owners are now being penalized and fined and getting in some serious trouble for leaving their dogs behind. So at least that's one thing in this county they have made some progress on, is making sure that people that don't treat their animals properly are paying for what they're doing.
That's right, because, you know, they should know better. I mean, we can't sit outside and you know, during a hurricane. I've been through five of them so far since, you know, 2004, and they are scary. I mean, this wind is beating up, and, I mean, the trees are moving crazy, and so you're just hoping for the best. But, you know, with all these people out there, there's so much, you know, your electric goes out. You know, it's just such a nightmare. And to see the news, and it's so devastating what these people are going through. So hopefully, you know, they have a speedy recovery, because that Mexico City beach got ripped apart. Oh, it's terrible. And yes. I could just imagine, you know, and then these animals, just like the farm animals out there, you know, it is very tough on them. And, you know, just even with the raccoons and the squirrels and all of them, too. So, you know, we all have to stick together and do what we can do to make bring light to them and, you know, hope. And so they don't, you know, give up, because they have to be, you know, totally devastated right now. Their properties are gone, and, you know, the houses are just ripped apart, and the mobile homes. And big thank you to all of those first responders, National Guard, medical team, firefighters, all of them, police, because we need all of us together to make things, you know, come alive again. Because I know, yeah, they have to be in
absolutely
shock. And that's what takes all this
absolutely
with, you know, the animals. It takes teamwork. You know, make those calls. And can you tell the audience what's the best way, if the pit bull type is banned, what can they do to, you know, get out there and get the word out to get that changed? Just call their...
Well, there's a lot...
Yeah, go ahead.
There's actually a lot that people can do. They don't, most people don't think that they really have a voice, that they're just one person. And, you know, if this past election has shown us anything, everybody has a voice, and they have to use it. If you don't use your voice, bad things can happen. And that's the case with this pit bull ban. Unfortunately, what most people don't know is that it was not a pit bull that actually attacked the child that started this ban. It was, again, misidentification. It was actually one of my favorite breeds also, which is ironic, but it was actually a Cane Corso that did it. So, you know, this law was based on bad facts to begin with. And like you said, you know, people want to know, what is it that we can do? Okay, we have a bad law now. How do we get rid of it? There's a lot of things that you can do as just one person. Education is the biggest thing I can tell the everyday person to do. First of all, educate yourself. Learn about these types of dogs. Learn about what laws are in place in your area. Who are the lawmakers in your area? Most people don't even know who their commissioners are, or their city commission, or their county commission, or their city mayor or county mayor. You need to know these things, because these are the people that are making the rules that really affect your everyday life. So the first thing that you can do is make sure that you're fully educated. Make sure that you know what laws are in place in your area, who the lawmakers are, and how those laws affect you. The second thing you can do is use your voice. Once you have the knowledge, what you need to do is you need to get out there. We have a social media era going on right now, and everybody knows how powerful social media can get. Get on it. Make your voice heard. You know, even if you're not a social media person, talk to your neighbor. Talk to your friend at the grocery store. You know, you see one of these animals on the street and someone says something wrong about them, correct them. Educate them politely, informatively, and you'd be surprised with each mind that's changed about this quote-unquote breed, the more that we can get done. It's all about education. I had to educate my own mother. My mother was terrified of them. All she'd ever heard is all those horrible stories you see on the news, which half the time are not even accurate. And she was terrified of them. And all it took was me introducing her to a pit bull that lived in our neighborhood. She met her, she fell in love, and that was the end of it. And she supported them ever since. That's all it takes. And just think, if you keep doing that and keep doing that and keep teaching one more person, eventually it's going to get to your lawmakers. They're going to change their mind, and then they're going to change the law because it's their population that wants it changed. So there's a lot you can do. The other piece of advice I would give all the listeners, and I tell all my own clients this as well, most people don't know their rights when it comes to their own animals. That is a big, big problem in this country. Most people don't know the laws and don't know what their rights are with regards to those laws. One of the most basic rights that every person has when it comes to their animal is to realize that even though it may bother us and we don't like the terminology, property by the government and by this country. By law, they are property. Therefore, they belong to you, which means just like the same rights you have with any of your other property in your house, and anything that belongs, quote-unquote, to you, you have the same rights when it comes to your animal, which means you would never let a police officer just walk in your house and seize your belongings. You would never let them just enter your car and seize your belongings. You're not going to let a cop come and knock on your door and say, I'm coming in because I'm taking your phone, or I'm taking your television, or, you know, I'm taking your computer. Most people would fight that and say, well, where's your warrant? Because at least most people know in order for an officer to enter your house and your residence, they need to have a warrant or what is called exigent circumstances, meaning an emergency. Some reason that by emergency they have to get in there right this second. So what most people don't realize is you can take those same rights and put them to your animal as well with regards to animal control. Animal control, the humane societies, unless you have a contract that says otherwise, like you've adopted and you have a specific contract that allows them to enter to do home checks or random checks. If you don't, then you have every right to tell them that they cannot enter your property without a warrant. And most people don't know that. And that's how a lot of people end up losing their animals, because they see animal control show up in their car with their catch poles and their uniforms, and they get scared and think that they have to just do what they say. And that's not true. You do have rights. That is the only good thing that came out of animals being deemed property. It means that they have the same rights as every other thing that you own, which means you can protect them. And if anybody wants to seize them or take them from you, they have to prove that they have probable cause to do so.
Yeah, that's very interesting to know, because that's so important, because a lot of people don't know that. You know, they'll just come to the door and, you know, come for the pet. And he's pit, you know, any type of pit bull, you know, in a lot of cases, Megan, they have to, you know, you got to blame the deed, not the breed. You know, it's not fair to
Absolutely.
Come in. You know, that, they have to look at what happened there, because we're all, you know, I have one dog and he's half Akita and half Chow, Buddy. And he was abandoned years ago. You know, and I don't, you know, the owner didn't even get charged with anything. He has a chip in him, and I was suspecting abuse. So, you know, last year got on the homeowners, they canceled the insurance because of the breed, and he has no biting record whatsoever, you know, and that's what I told him. I said, this is discrimination. I even called the senator's office. because I thought it was unfair where you have to pay more of the dog you have, or they won't, you know, cover you because of the breed. And it's not fair. It's like with, you know, just like with, there's and police officers and lawyers and firemen and, you know, doctors and attorneys, good and bad people in every race, religion, and profession, none of them excluded. But you can't take it out on just because, you know, there are some bad ones out there. You can't say they're all like that, you know, and charge them with it. It's not right. You know, we have, I know.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they see cops on them, you hear people say, oh, they're all like that. No, they're not all like that. There's a couple bad eggs in everything, you know. So we can't look at it like to the dogs either. And it's not right. It's so disgusting, you know, to even to hear there's a, you know, BSL. And it's got to go because, I mean, it's going into 2019. And who suffers here? These animals can't fight for themselves or speak out for themselves. We have to do it for them and make it right for them.
Absolutely.
Make it a better life and future. You know, give them a chance.
Absolutely.
You know, just like pit, you know, dog fighting. These dogs don't walk themselves to the fights. They don't get drive themselves. They're trained to fight and kill. Okay, so whose fault is that? That's the owners. The absolutely. So then they get the bad rap from that. So I wish these dog fighters would turn over a new leaf, you know, and instead of putting them in harm's way, then turn around and help them out. Because who can sit there and watch dog fighting and enjoy it? And, you know, two animals endure pain, and some of them lose their eyes and ears and deaf. I mean, that to me is front lines animal cruelty. And who allows it? The dog.
Absolutely.
Fighters. You know, it's so wrong.
No, it's a horrible, horrible situation. Unfortunately, for as long as animals existed and as long as humans existed, let me rephrase that, there has been some sort of exploitation or another of animals. And it is a horrible, horrible thing to exist. But again, it goes back to education. It goes back to speaking out. If you don't know what's going on in your area, then you can't stop it. If you don't speak out, then nobody knows you have a problem with it. You know,
right.
If people, thank goodness we have women all over this country right now that are out there speaking for their rights. So why don't we speak for those who can't speak for themselves? There are so many animals out there that need a voice. That's part of what I do in my practice. Not only do I, you know, work to get rid of BSL, but there are so many animals that get, you know, the raw end of the deal in just day-to-day life. And most people don't even realize this is happening until it happens to them. I have clients call me on a weekly basis that, hey, they just came and told me that they're going to deem my dog dangerous. Or, hey, they just told me they're going to deem my dog aggressive or vicious, and they're trying to take my dog, and I don't know what to do. And they told me I had a hearing, and I went, and they wouldn't listen to me. I hear it all the time, but people don't know that this is going on until it happens to them. And, you know, we've all had dogs that maybe don't get along with cats or dogs that are not kid-friendly, and they can be of any breed. I know plenty of Chihuahuas who can't stand children. And plenty of Chihuahuas that can't stand cats or other animals. You know, every animal is an individual. They have to be treated that way. But unless you've come across any of these things, a lot of people don't realize what goes on day to day in these counties, in these cities, not just in Miami-Dade County, but everywhere else. And I would, you know, caution everybody, make sure you know every single law. When you own an animal, it is your responsibility to know every law that applies to that animal. Because you could be violating the law and not even know it. I know a lot of people who have larger breed dogs that tend to have a high prey drive. And for those of you that don't know what that means, it's just something instinctually in them from, you know, generations back from when they were wolves and everything else, where, you know, smaller animals, if they're not raised around them, they may assume that they are prey, i.e. a squirrel, you know, a rat that's running across your backyard. And, you know, dogs usually try and protect their property and their owners. That's what they do. And a lot of times, you know, if they're not raised around these animals and they're not socialized properly when they're young, automatically assume that that's food and they go for it. And they don't know that they're doing anything wrong. And if it's never happened before, the owners don't know. You can have an owner. I've seen cases where their dog is walking on a leash. They're walking their dog and all of a sudden a rat goes running across the street and the dog will go after them. Owner didn't know that was going to happen because they've never come in contact with that before. Or maybe their dog's never met a cat before and it chases a stray cat. I had a case that went all the way up to the appellate court down here in Miami because an owner who had a foster dog was walking his dog. There was a really bad cat population in that area that was just abundant and feral, and nothing was being done about it. And nobody in the area knew, unless you lived there, that there was this big problem. And he was just walking his dog. This cat came out, tried to attack his dog. His dog fought back, protecting him, protecting the other dogs with him, and unfortunately killed the cat. And his dog was going to be deemed dangerous and have to wear a muzzle and be caged for the rest of his life, all because he was defending himself. And the man came to me and said, "I don't understand. He's the sweetest dog ever. The cat tried to attack him. Why is this happening?" And it's because he didn't know that these laws were in place. He didn't know that if your animal attacks another animal and it's considered a domesticated animal, then your dog can be deemed dangerous and has to wear a muzzle the rest of its life and can't be bred, can't be transferred. It's horrible. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to a hearing and they won't even hear him. He can't present evidence like you do in a normal case. You don't get to go to trial like a real, you know, criminal case where you see on TV and Law and Order and everybody thinks that's the way it is. That's not the way it is in these cases. You go in there, they put on their case, you maybe get to put on yours. They don't follow any of the rules of evidence. And then here's a ruling, and if you want to appeal it, it's going to take up to 2 years and thousands of dollars to appeal. Most people can't shell out that kind of money. But again, he didn't know about the laws. It's not his fault what happened, but if people don't know, they don't know what their rights are. They don't know what could happen, so they don't know that maybe they need to make sure that their dog is socialized against everything, or that they know what's going on in their neighborhood so that they can prevent these things from happening, or even know that there are animal rights attorneys. I can't tell you how many people call me and say, you know, until my friend told me, I didn't even know lawyers did that. You know, they don't know that there's people like me. No, there's not a lot of us, but we are around. We're here to help. You know, and if it wasn't for me stepping in, he probably wouldn't have been able to appeal. He would have never been able to adopt out the dog that was a foster. And the poor animal would have to have lived with a muzzle on him and in an enclosed cage anytime he tried to leave. It's a horrible state. So all I can really tell people is, know who the people are around you that can help you. Know the laws that apply to animals in your area. Know your lawmakers and know your animal. If you are not experienced with dogs, if you are not experienced, especially with large breed dogs, because let's face it, I got two babies. My babies are under a year and they're already 60 and 70 pounds. I got big old babies. And I'm, you know, a decent sized woman, but they can pull me around. And if I don't go to someone who knows how to train them or how to handle them and teach me how to do that, then something bad can happen. You know, there's education out there, but you have to reach out for it. And you have to, once you have it, you need to share it. And then you need to speak out. That's the biggest thing. And if you don't know what your rights are and you need someone to help, reach out to the coalition. Reach out to Debbie. Reach out to other organizations in your area. They will be more than happy to sit down and tell you what your rights are and help you and point you to a lawyer if you need one or to an advocate. There's a lot of things you can do, but it's just like you always say, Debbie, you have to speak out because they can't.
Right. I mean, they have, you know, they deserve a chance because animals, you know, they're helpless and voiceless and innocent and defenseless. How are they going to fight for themselves? I mean, there's no way we can, you know, see the horrific photos and the videos and, you know, them crying out. But we have to step, all of us have to step up to the plate and never wait for the next person to do it. Do it yourself, you know. I'm not only on this radio, I go and do other, you know, take other action. I make the phone calls and write emails and letters. And, you know, I get involved with my legislating because, you know, that's where we have to go and do something. We can't just let it keep, you know, like a revolving door keep happening year after year after year. And there's a lot of these problems that have been happening since decade after decade after decade. And those animals need our voice too, you know, so.
Absolutely. And even if not for the animals, their owners need our voice too. How many times have you seen it on the news lately that people with service dogs, therapy dogs, emotional support animals, it's all over the news, all over social media. They're being thrown off planes. They're being refused into hospitals, into government buildings, apartment complexes. There's so many animals and so many people who love them that need help. And if you don't know how to help, ask somebody. It's as simple as I guarantee it. Every one of your listeners posted on Facebook, just on their page, a question of how can I help animals around me? I guarantee you at least one of your friends knows the answer to that question.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And even in these groups and Facebook pages, you know, how you can help out. Just look on their page and, you know, where you take action at, the action takers. That's, you know, the protest rallies, you know, they can be peaceful. You know, no, there don't even have to be
Absolutely.
No violence involved. I've been in protests before, you know, and there's, you know, cops will drive by or whatever, but it never gets violent. Just have your signs, you know, getting them at the poster board at the dollar store and make your own creative signs and you know, not only that, but write the emails and the phone calls because that all of our voices matter, every one of us. And when we get more out there, you know, just coming together as one and doing something, that's when the changes come about, the victories that we strive for. And the animals so well deserve it. You know, so I love
especially
that word.
Now, we're in election season. Now's
right.
the time to do it. These lawmakers
right.
want your vote. If they want your vote, make them work for it. Tell them.
That's
tell
right
them
there.
The
yes.
issues that are important to you.
Agreed. You know, just make that phone call. Make that, you know, write that email. It all counts because it's amazing what I could do within an hour of my time, how much I can help and multitask. And I feel good about
Absolutely.
It. When I see it come, when it comes in and says it's a victory, I can't take credit, but I am involved, you know. So that's what counts. I just want to see it. That's what matters. And I'm just not going to stop there.
Absolutely.
I'm going to keep going and going and going because I'm not going to stop
there.
Well,
and for all the young people, how many tweets can you send in an hour?
I know.
Quite a few.
I bet
you could tweet every one of your representatives in your local government, in your state government, and national government. I bet in 1 hour you could tweet them all and make sure each and every one of them is aware of what is important to you. It's as simple as that. You don't have to. If you say, you know, I hear people, say, well, I don't have time. I have kids and I have a family. I have this, I have that. Okay, do you have 30 seconds? Ask them that.
That's right.
If they have 30 seconds, then they have enough time to send a tweet to their representative. That's all it takes.
That's it. I mean, it doesn't take that long at all. And, it, you know, I know people get involved with their jobs or family, like you said, and this and that. But, it's amazing what you do in 15 minutes a day, you know, instead of, like, getting on the computer, you know, doing shopping and browsing. I'll put that on there on one of your politicians on the website, make a quick email. You know, so much can, while you're on the, you know, get on the phone, call them up, leave a message. I mean, it all counts. Every effort counts. Share on social media, you know. So if anybody wants to call in with any comments or questions, you're more than welcome to. Area code 310-982-4270, press 1 and I'll let you in. It's the same number every week where you can call in and listen, the audience. Or if you want to speak, press the 1. You can also Skype in. So, everyone, just I do have a caller here. Megan, here we go.
All right.
Okay, we got area code 719. You're live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 193. How are you this evening? You're live and on the air.
I'm doing great. Debbie, how are you doing? This is Ray.
Hey, Ray, how are you? Welcome,
Val. I'm doing wonderful.
Glad to hear from you. Yes. Yes.
I have a question for Megan.
Go ahead.
Sure.
I'm wondering what we can do about all the police shootings of people's dogs lately. You know, they're coming into people's yards and just because the dog barks at them, they think that they have the right to shoot them.
That is a very, very, very good question. I actually am working on one of those cases, unfortunately, right now. A lot of people want to know because it's been in the news a lot, and there has been recent upper-level court decisions regarding this. I believe there was a Supreme Court case that just went through regarding this. Police officers, unfortunately, have been given more leeway now in order to do that. The reasoning behind this is because they don't want officers putting their lives in danger before they take corrective action as they see it. Unfortunately, a lot of times, you're absolutely right. That power of theirs, that right of theirs is abused. And yes, just because the dog barks at them or runs up to them, they're shooting the animal. Honestly, one of the first things anybody can do about that is make sure that your dogs are always, always properly secured when they're on your property. Not that it would be your fault, because 9 times out of 10, it's not the owner's fault. It's the officer's fault. But I've seen cases where somebody answers their door when the officer knocks on their door, which is not a bad thing to do, but they don't realize that their dog is right behind them and their dog is overly friendly, so they're going to run right through their legs and go and try and say hi to the officer. And officers aren't really trained all that well to notice animal behavior. So if they see a dog they don't know running up to them, sometimes they overreact and think, oh, goodness, I'm in danger. The problem with that is we end up with cases like the one I have now where that's exactly what happened, and the animal was unfortunately shot multiple times and passed away. And it could have been prevented had there been a doggy gate at the door, or had they secured the dog before they answered the door. Does that mean that it's my client's fault? Absolutely not. Are we pursuing the police department? Absolutely. But ways to prevent things like that are to do that. The other way to prevent is, again, like me and Debbie have been saying throughout this entire show, we have to open our voices. They may have the right to do that because the upper court said that they do. But maybe we can educate them so that they don't do it. Most police departments do not have animal behavior, animal handling as part of their training. That's a big, big problem. You know, you're trained to deal with drugs. You're trained to deal with violent people. You're trained to deal with millions of situations. Why are you not trained to deal with a dog that's approaching you and maybe learn how to notice what the behavior is? Because someone who doesn't know a dog, say someone, there's officers who don't like dogs. That's okay. Not everybody has to love them like we do. But because they don't, they've never learned animal behavior. And their department has never trained them. So they don't know when a dog comes chasing at them, if, you know, they're wagging their tail and they're shaking their booty, that's a good thing. They may not know that. And it's kind of weird because we can't realize how anybody would not know that. But some people actually don't. And if they were just trained to look for the signs of aggression, you know, hackles up, ears back, tail down, all those things that those of us who know our animals and know all sorts of different breeds know what to look for, we could probably prevent those things. But the only way those things are going to go into effect in the police department is if everybody requires it. You have to write to the chief of police. You need to write to the commissioner. You need to write to the mayor. You need to go on social media. Every time you see one of these stories, blast them. I know they're horrible to look at. Most people don't want to share them, because, let alone look at them, because the videos and the photographs are horrific. But you know what? You need to share it, because each person that gets upset about that is going to be another person who doesn't ever want to see it happen again. And the more people don't, the more people are going to be willing to say something.
We had I have my grandchildren, and my youngest granddaughter and I were out in the front yard, and all of a sudden shots rang out. I grabbed her, threw her on the ground, laid on top of her. We didn't know what the heck was going on. Like three houses up, right on the corner, I mean, you could see the yard from my front yard. The police got a call of a domestic violence. They went to the wrong house, and their three dogs were in the yard. They killed all three of them right there in the front yard. Now, where they were standing, those bullets could have easily left that yard and come right where we were standing. They were facing right towards us. You know, and it's just out of control.
It's horrible.
You know?
It's horrible. There are no words for a situation like that. There are no words. You know, the police officers were responding. They were trying to help someone that was in trouble. They went to the wrong place. You know, one thing that I will say in defense of police officers, I've known quite a few. I'm friends with quite a few, and they're human too. They do make mistakes.
Right.
Going to the wrong address, it happens. Something, a number gets inverted between dispatch and them, it happens. You know, and they show up and they think that this is an extremely violent scene, and then they see these three dogs. I can't speak for what went through their minds, and I can't, you know, without knowing the facts of the case, obviously I can't give any legal advice on that. But
right.
It's a horrible situation. Is there anything the owners could have done in that situation? Probably not. Probably not, to avoid it. It's one of those terrible situations that happens. However, would some training for those officers to know animal behavior made a difference? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think that's a great idea. I think that is something that needs to be pushed, especially here. We have quite a few incidents here.
Well, and especially when you see clusters like that, because this is not something that happens, you know, as often as domestic violence or rape or things like that. Officers killing animals is not as common as the media likes to show it. It is common, but not to that extent. But that's the thing, because just because something's not super common doesn't mean that we don't need to do something about it. And, you know, most people, if it doesn't hit the news, they don't know what happened unless they saw it. But there's
right.
ways to find out what's going on in your neighborhood, and most people don't even know that. They figure the only way you know about a neighborhood is by asking your neighbors. No. Go to your city and your county's website. Most states have laws that require them to post the crime statistics on their websites, or at least have them available to the public. There's ways to find out what is going on in your neighborhood. And the more educated you are, not just on these issues, but on every issue, the better prepared you are and the more you know what areas might need to be worked on. If someone looks in your area and they go on the website and they find those statistics and they notice, wow, look at how many times this has happened. Or they go and ask the police department or the mayor's office or the commissioner, why is this happening so often? You know, that's all it takes is someone noticing there's a problem and refusing to stand down and standing up and opening their mouth and making sure that not only they know, but everybody around them knows and their legislature knows that there's a problem and that they're not going to keep their mouth shut until the problem's been handled.
Well, thank you so very much for your advice there, Megan. We appreciate listening in.
Hey, Ray, thank you.
My
for
pleasure.
Calling. Megan, this is a former guest of mine, Ray Weitner, and she's founder of the Community Cats United. Thank you, Ray, for calling in. Looking forward to having you back on the show, okay?
Thanks,
feel free to
thanks,
call in
Dad.
Anytime.
Talk to you later. All
okay,
right.
And have a great evening. And I got another caller calling in from area code 541. Go ahead, you're live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 193. How are you this evening?
Hello, this is Christina up in Oregon.
Hey, Christina,
from,
how are
Paws.
You?
I'm
yes,
good.
Yes,
and
there's
good.
Another guest here too, Megan. Christina, this is awesome. I love when we all come together. I've seen so many of my former guests become friends and working together. I mean, it is awesome, you know. And with
it's
Patrick,
the network, it's how it's done.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And with the Pit Bull Advocate. We work together, you know, a lot. And that's, and Megan, when you called, when you was a guest that night on their show and I called in, that you did another great, outstanding interview. And Diane Lynn,
thank you.
She's awesome too. Thank you on the Pit Bull Advocate on Facebook and also on Blog Talk Radio. But go ahead, Christina. You have any comments or questions for Megan?
Well, I was going to kind of chime in on the last call that was made. If you have, and not just if you have a city that has a lot of incidents like this, cities that have a lot more bigger cities with a lot more domestic violence, the animals get upset during those time periods, and a lot of times this sort of thing happens. And there are ordinances and things you can do and whatnot as civilians to try to help the police department in those situations. If you go to your city
Absolutely.
Council meetings and talk to them and find out, you know, is there any trainers in the community that would volunteer to help train? Because a lot of it has to do with finances. You know, cities are just like any other business are hurting for, you know, they're hurting for money. And they don't, you know, they put out, you know, where it's needed, so to speak. They got a budget. And to train officers and so on and so forth, it's costly. So, you know, if you could,
yes,
you know, start a free training by volunteer trainers, or maybe even get the AC to help train the officer, something that doesn't cost the city anything, you know, they're more apt to be open to the idea of training their officers to be able to understand dog body language and so on and so forth, you know, or even provide them, you know, make sure that your dispatch, when they get called in on especially a domestic violence, ask that question, are there any dogs in the house? And if there are, bring AC out there. You know, there are ways to sedate them. There are ways to, you know, corral them and so on and so forth by those who know how to do it, you know, if they know that they're there to begin with, you know.
Absolutely.
And so a lot of times, you know, if you just go to your city council meetings and say, hey, how can we work with this? What can we do? What can we as citizens do to, you know, that won't cost the city a lot of money, but, you know, and then get a hold of the trainers out there. There's a lot of dog trainers out there. And they love to get involved. They love to, you know, get their name in the paper. You know, there's, you know, you have to look for an avenue that's going to be enticing to them as well. And what better, you know, advertising for their dog training is if they're helping volunteer to train the police officers, and it hits the front page of the paper.
Absolutely.
You know, you got to be creative.
I think
that's
a wonderful idea.
And it's all, you know, like you said, it's all about training. You know, they have, their mind is on, you know, this certain call that they were called in on, and the dogs are just, you know, another threat to the situation, you know, and they're going to take care of that threat as easily as possible and the only way they know how. You know, there are rogue officers out there, you know, obviously. You know, there was a case up in Canada where a dog was playing ball with his owner in the park, and a police officer shot him because it was running towards him with a ball in his mouth. You know, all happy. You know, I mean, that's, you know, you could question that as a, you know, maybe a little bit of aggression on the police officers, you know, or shooting a dog that's, you know, 20 pounds or less, that sort of thing, you know. But most of the time, it's bigger dogs that throws a that pose a threat to them, and they have no clue. And
no,
and I
they
think
don't.
It,
and
you
remember,
know,
they
falls,
watch
it,
the same news that we do. They see the
yeah,
same
yeah,
stories
and,
that we do, and you know they're brainwashed by the media as well. That you know
exactly,
pit bulls
exactly,
or Dobermans or Rottweilers, they're
yeah,
oh yeah,
and
any
and
bully breed at
just
all.
Like most of your ACs can't tell a pit bull from any other, you know, large breed blockhead dog. Police officers can't either,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they're all...
No, they
devils.
Can't, and they just, they see a big dog with a lot of muscles, and they, oh my God, they must be aggressive, they're going to hurt me, when really the
right.
dog's running up to them because, oh my God, you look cool, can I play with you? You know, it's,
yeah.
it's you're absolutely right, it's all about training, it's all about education, and it, unfortunately, is about money. You are 100% right about that. And there are plenty of people, I agree with you, that would be more than happy to train, but the police departments don't even know that's an option. So until, like you said, until someone says something at a meeting or anything else, they're not going to know.
If you know, if you can pose it at a city council meeting or a county commissioner's meeting or something, a free or low-cost training for police officers, you know, and different ideas, that they'd be more than happy to, you know, consider it and work it out. But a citizen's got to get involved. We can't just complain about it. We have to get involved, you know. I'm good at complaining.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. A lot of complaints, but nobody wants to do anything.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, that was my 2 cents on that.
Hey, Christina, I got another call. We got 4 minutes left here. You can stay right
on
here.
I'm going to get off of here and just listen to the rest of the show.
Yeah, but thank you for calling in and your, you know,
thank
your
you.
Support. And we got Diane Lynn calling in. Diane, welcome to Animal Advocates Radio. You must have been heard me thank you on air for all you do. We love pit bulls, the pit bull advocate. But thank you, you know, for everything you're doing. Because we are a great team.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I love working with you,
well,
Megan,
AKA
Megan
was
Dog
just on the Pit Bull Advocates with us. So, yeah, she's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
She did a great
job.
Well, I was
thank
there.
You. It was my pleasure. I had a blast.
Yep. I did too. And it was, you know, you're a great speaker for the, you know, all the animals and everything, Megan. Keep up the great work you're doing. You got our support.
Well, thank you. I try.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd love to have you on again.
So do you have a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Question, Diane?
What you were saying, yeah. And I just actually, sorry, I just got on the last, like, 5-10 minutes. I agree. So 100% with what you and the other person was saying. And it is so frustrating. It's like you just want to take somebody and you want to grab the other idiot's head that thinks the same way, and you just want to bang them together. Because this might be a good idea. We might be onto something here. But because they think, like you were saying, oh, my God, it's big, it's strong, it's got a blockhead. Holy shit, it's a pit bull.
Yeah,
you
they,
know,
do.
And,
they do.
They
do, and
know,
I hate to say it, but my mom thought the same
not.
Thing.
Yeah. Some of my family does, too, and just got to try to keep educating and get the word out there. I think we've come a long way. We've reached a lot of people over the last few years. We're doing good at it. We all need to just stick together on this.
That's right, and that's what matters.
Absolutely.
Hey, the louder you
and
bark,
you know
the
what?
Louder.
I think I always like to say I think there is a cure for ignorance when it comes to pit bulls, and it is a kiss. That's all it takes.
Yep.
All you
That's
need
it.
To do is get one of those famous pity smiles or pity kisses, and let me tell you, you will never think they're vicious again. That's all it takes.
Yeah,
it's just
a little snuggle
just
up
one.
On the couch, and those little pitiful eyes.
And ladies, I got.
Believe me, my Maxie's got him. His eyes will melt anybody.
I bet they're lovable. I mean, they're just they need the chance. They need changes to be made, to not to be afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
You know? No animal should live in
right.
fear, and no human should live
right.
in fear. I got 60 seconds here left, ladies. And Ray, thank you for calling in, Christina. Or Ray from Community Cats United called in, a former guest, Christina, Marie Anderson, Paul's Across America in Oregon, and also Diane from the Pit Bull Advocate on Facebook, and also Blog Talk Radio, and also We Love Pit Bulls and How Many Other Groups Diane Brought 100 on Facebook.
No, I've only got 72.
We'll join in next week. Kate McCall, she's the fourth state director of the Humane Society of the United States. She'll be joining us next Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Mountain, 5 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listening worldwide with unlimited listeners, www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescaredforanimals. Thank you, all you listeners, for tuning in tonight. Have a nice and peaceful evening. Thank you, Megan, for being a guest. I'm looking forward to having you on again. And her Facebook page.
I would love it.
Oh, I love this. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. But thank you for all you're doing, everyone. You know, it takes teamwork. That's what the key to unlock the door is. Good night, everyone, and may God bless you all.
Yeah.
And hope to join in next week.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks.
Thank you all.